Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My text for this sermon is Matthew chapter 2, the whole chapter, which is too long to read, but you're probably familiar with the story of the wise men who journey from the east to bring gifts and greet the newborn king. Normally in my sermon, I'd provide a little background information. I might include details like the wise men were probably Persian astrologers, and they may have been traveling for as much as 2 years. But in a 7-minute sermon, there isn't time for background information. Normally in my sermon, I might make observations. I might point to the ruthless and deceptive character of Herod and how he had members of the Sanhedrin executed, not to mention having his 3 sons, his wife, and his brother-in-law all killed. But in a 7-minute sermon, there isn't time for observations. Normally in my sermon, I would make special note of how Jesus' birth in Bethlehem and later return from Egypt were the fulfillment of prophecies found in Micah 5 and Hosea 11. But in a 7-minute sermon, there isn't time for special notes. In a 7-minute sermon, I need to get right to the point. So let me tell you, start by telling you that this sermon is about the high cost of Christmas. Now, you may be thinking I'm going to talk about the expensive gifts we buy and the credit card bills that arrive in January and how we need to be good stewards of the resources that God gives us. No, that's not the high cost I'm talking about. Or you might be thinking I'm going to talk about the Christmas cookies and the fruitcake and the turkey dinners and how we need to be thankful for the abundance God has provided. No, that's not the high cost I'm talking about. Or you might think I'm going to talk about the 3 gifts of the wise men, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh, and how we should love the Lord with the same extravagance as the wise men. No, that's not the high cost I'm talking about. No, in the few minutes I have left, I want to focus on what happened after the wise men went home and Herod realized he'd been tricked by them. This is what it says in verse 16 of chapter 2. He, Herod, gave orders to massacre all the male children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under. Now you may be thinking, oh, Bill, why that passage? Why talk about murdered babies? It's Christmas. Can't we focus on the happy parts of the story? We could do that. We could try to publicly silence the text. Maybe even assemble a new translation. We could call it the Happy Parts Only Bible. Now you may be thinking, oh, Bill, your ways are not God's ways. Your thoughts are not God's thoughts. God said it. It's in the Bible. There's nothing new to learn here. Let's just move on. We could do that. We could just accept the verse uncritically. But that flies in the face of 2 Timothy 3, where we read that all Scripture is useful for teaching, reproof, correction, and training. Now you may be thinking, oh, Bill, how are you going to redeem this passage? How are you going to make sense of this tragedy? Well, maybe, just maybe, we're not supposed to make sense of murder. Maybe, just maybe, God knows that we have been desensitized to violence. Too many crimes on the nightly news, too much horror in our movies, too many guns and car crashes in the video games. Maybe, just maybe, God included a passage about murdered babies precisely because it is so offensive. It makes us cringe, it makes our hearts sink. And maybe it resensitizes us to the reality of violence and death in this world. And maybe, just maybe, God included this story so we will feel compelled as Christians to do something to help save innocent lives. But what can we do? First, we grieve. We grieve the loss of innocent life. We grieve for babies who died simply because they came from the same town as Jesus. Jesus himself modeled this when he wept over the death of Lazarus. Next, we ask God to remind us of all the innocent lives lost in war and genocide and famine and enslavement. Then we pray We continue to pray. And in our prayers, we ask God to show us how we might work toward raising awareness of innocent suffering. You might want to sponsor a needy child through Compassion International, or pack gift shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child, or help support a child whose parent is in prison through Angel Tree Project. You might look around your local community or church and see if there's a child or a family that you could help. Or you might take some time and study another passage in Scripture at the other end of Matthew 25, where Jesus reminds us that whenever we feed the hungry, give a drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, visit the sick or the imprisoned, we do it unto him. Amen. Finally, when we start making our gift lists for next year, the ones we're going to give, or any time you hear the story of the wise men, I hope that this sermon will come to mind and remind you of the high cost of Christmas.
Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.